Welcome back once again to the Retrocade Podcast, episode 52. It's Phil and
Sean.
Great to be here on this post-Halloween episode. It's a real spooker.
There's a lot going on. There's a lot to discuss and a lot to catch up on, as usual.
I'm very, very excited. It's, you know, we do have a lot to catch up. I don't know why, but
well, you know,
you take our like semi-quarterly hiatus.
It's the circles of life. It's busy, but yes. we're making it work, and we have fresh new content for you.
We've got fantastic,
a lot to go over.
Fantastic amounts of fresh new content,
and there's a lot of exciting things on the horizon. And we're talking, you know,
tons. And I'm stoked for all of it. So I know, Sean, that you have been well on your way to see and watch some good stuff, such as
Let's start with the first. Squid Game.
Yes.
It was about 2 weeks ago it came out, 3 weeks ago. I was actually in El Salvador when it came out, so I was a little late to watch it.
Right.
Everyone's like, oh, the show, it's crazy. Even, like, our friend Fly was talking about
it. Yes, yes, yes. He
rarely, like, says
anything. He likes nothing, friend of the show, he doesn't like anything that, like, is, I guess, trendy or anything
and
like
he's
that.
He's like, bro, the show's sick. And so I watch it.
I haven't had a chance. I've been like, I see it there, and I'm like.
And they're like, oh, you gotta watch it in the original. I'm like, I don't have the patience to read subtitles for 8 hours.
Oh, wait, so you.
I watch the dub.
You watch the dub? Oh, man. You see, that's the problem with me, is that I like to kind of multitask when I'm watching stuff. So obviously, when you're watching subtitles, you have to just watch
it. Exactly. Yeah. And, like, you're tired. You just want to, like.
Yeah, I would be watching this at, like, 11 p.m. to 2 a.m.
Like, exactly. You know? I don't feel like just reading for 5 hours.
No.
It's just, like, more.
Yeah, you want
to. It takes more energy.
It takes a lot more energy. You have to really sit down and
focus.
Yeah,
the dub's a little cheesier. It's not as authentic, but.
For sure. Yes, for sure. But I guess it's kind of like you got to pick your poison there.
But even me, I'm surprised. Like, I was really engrossed in this Korean TV show.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was great.
My grandma used to watch Korean soap operas for some reason.
Okay.
She really liked them.
Were they on Netflix or?
It was on like daytime TV. This is a long time ago.
PBS or one of those
Brooklyn, like, but she used to watch them. And
so old Italian woman was watching Korean soap operas.
Old Irish woman, yeah. But
your mother's mother.
She was, but she really liked that. But interesting that,
premise is you have all these like degenerate gamblers, right?
Yes.
All these people are in crippling debt and their lives are in shambles and they're all fucked up.
So I've heard. I think a lot of people should know the premise. Well, maybe not. I guess
all
not
right,
everybody
so the
knows.
The premise, you know, you got all these fucking degenerate gamblers pretty much. Right. They're all in crippling debt and their lives are terrible. And they get them to this like game show. So they only find desperate people that are like desperate for money. They get them to this game show kind of thing. Everything's underground, completely legal, and the winner gets like millions upon millions, like, you know, absurd amount of money.
So it's kind of like Hunger Games in
similar,
that sense, but more more dystopian, but I guess there's an economic piece to it.
It's very complex social, like a lot of social kind of
stories
and whatnot.
Yeah, and there's a lot, and of course social commentary to
exactly.
it too, with the haves and the haves nots.
And you see like these millionaire weirdos wearing a mask and they're just like
I like it already.
About these like
this is what the real that's what like, the millionaires do in real life.
They're laughing at these peons.
peons.
And they kind of make the analogy like, well, you know, you bet on horses like we bet on humans.
Yeah,
it's essentially just horse racing for the rich.
Gotcha.
And then there's all these and you see all these people deteriorate their morals to go further.
Right. They throw away their ethics and morals to kick everyone else while they're down.
You feel bad for certain characters, and you start to hate certain characters, and you start to root for certain characters.
Sure.
And as every episode, there's more.
It's Netflix, right?
Netflix.
Yeah.
It says like the most watched Netflix show.
No, it keeps popping up. I was like, well, it's not
each round,
Hulu.
People are actually dying. Like in the games, people die at the end of the game.
Sure, sure, sure.
So it weeds out more people.
How many are like, because I've seen like there's like a lot. There's a lot.
I think there was five rounds of the
game. Oh, you didn't? A ton of people die early on? Yeah.
Yeah. So
not to spoil it. Are we spoiling it?
Nah, I'm not going to say anything about.
Sure.
Huge
we'll just
twist
give our light commentary and a. And
there's a huge twist at the end, which I'm not going to say anything about.
Sure.
You're like, what the fuck?
Oh, cool. I like that. Now I really want to watch it.
There's a huge. And they also set it up for a season two. But that's the only non-spoiler.
How many episodes? So it's one season so far.
Eight
episodes, one season. It's an hour a piece?
Yeah, maybe 45 minutes.
Okay, great. So it was pretty digestible, which is good.
Yeah,
because
I think I watched it within like a week time. I watched like two episodes a clip.
Right, the two episodes a clip in a week. See, I just rewatched Star Trek The Next Generation.
Wow. What's that on now? Paramount?
It's on Paramount Plus, but it's still on Netflix in the meantime.
Really?
I think it's going to come off. So that's why I made a point to go watch it again.
Amazon had the Star Trek movies for a while.
Yes, yes. Now they're on Paramount Plus, right? They bounce around.
Fucking like 10 of them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wrath of Khan is like
the best of those five or six movies.
Wrath of Khan is the best Star Trek movie. And the original.
Oh, for sure. Well, the first one's mad boring.
The first one is just like,
so it's 70s
very dry. It's
sci-fi.
Very dry sci-fi.
There's nothing going on.
It's
really
like banter in a ship for two-thirds of the movie.
And it's long, too, you know? So it's like 2.5 hours of banter. You're right. And then, but at least right at the con, you get a lot from
there's
it.
Action.
It's good. Yeah,
there's
it's good.
Parasites.
You're in it.
And
you're,
Spock.
You're involved.
Like, sacrifices himself.
God! Yeah, I mean, like, everybody knows that. That's iconic at this point. And
even, like, who's in Seinfeld?
Yeah. George does it, yeah.
You know, and that was fucking 30 years ago.
Yes.
So I don't think we're spoiling anything at this
point. No, we're not spoiling Wrath of Khan from 1982, whatever year that was. But,
Star Trek's good. I used to watch the original Shatners, and I would be, like, really fucked up in college trying to go to bed. It would, like, set
me to
sleep.
Yeah, that'll
put
you to sleep. Yeah.
And, man, you would see these, like, beautiful women
on
the show.
Only threw... Gene Roddenberry loved his babes.
You would see, like... She was like an alien, like have green hair.
Yeah, yeah. Just put some green on
like,
her. Smoking hot model.
Hottest model you ever seen.
Yeah.
And they're wearing like alien cleavage. You're like, oh, what is this?
Yeah. Exactly.
Whereas like the 2021, that would never fly.
Oh,
it's
no.
Like, that's objectifying women,
that's
objectifying
racist.
Aliens.
Yeah, like the new shows like Discovery or Picard. I mean, they just have horrible reviews from fans. I haven't watched either of those.
Picard hasn't got, I haven't watched it.
No. In fact, that was kind of the things. I was like, let me rewatch the original
and Patrick
show.
Stewart was great.
Like the TNG.
Patrick Stewart was great.
Patrick Stewart's fantastic, and he's great on TNG, The Next Generation, because that was great. I watched that as a kid when it was on, you know. I wasn't like a big Star Trek fan. I was Star Wars, but that would be on Channel 11 or whatever, and I'd keep it on, you know, and like spaceships.
It was on like junk time, like 4 in the afternoon.
4 in the afternoon or evenings on
a
Sunday or some shit. Yeah, Saturday, weekends, exactly. So I watched a fair amount of TNG as a kid. I even had that Star Trek Enterprise D or whatever it is that as a toy. But I was much more of a Star Wars fan. I mean, Star Trek back burner.
Star Wars
entirely.
Is easy to digest as a kid.
Of course. It's much easier to digest as a
kid. Well, speaking of kids, they came out with a Star Trek like animated.
Yes. They had the Lower Decks, right?
I don't know what it's called. I saw a billboard.
Oh, they had, did they have two of them? Because there was
there's a new one right now. I think it's on Paramount Plus.
I think that's Lower Decks. But
it's more kind of like an animated show with aliens and it's made.
Let me
like
see
Star
you,
Trek for kids.
Yes,
which Star Trek's never done before. So.
Well, they did have the original animated show in the late 60s, early 70s. It was kind of just
animated.
Yeah.
I missed that then.
Well, it was essentially it was a short-lived. I mean, one or two seasons. It was the original show. But just animated in the late. It was kind of like Space Ghost, that kind of animation.
I know, like Space Ghost.
Yeah, it was in that like animation. What?
Hanna-Barbera.
Yeah, I think that it might have been them.
I used to love Space Ghost, Coast to Coast.
Me too. I watched it,
and it was like adult, but it wasn't like risky.
Right. Yes. Exactly. It was mature. Here, so this was from, this is 1973, yeah, this is the,
That's the animation.
Yeah, that, like, Hanna-Barbera animation. I don't know if it is Hanna-Barbera, but it's at least inspired.
There's, like, I remember, like, Hawkman or Hawkeye.
And
there was some, like, mold guys that would, like, transform, and there was, like, rhinos.
Oh, this is Filmation.
There was,
so
like,
similar.
Rhinos and shit.
Yes.
I remember watching these, like, poorly animated.
I remember that, too,
science-fiction-y cartoons.
Yes.
Like, my grandma, they would be on, like, Cartoon Network late night.
Late night, yeah, sure. That was plentiful in the 90s, yeah. Because that's what they had.
You kids, well, that shit's not on TV now.
Not really. You'd probably have to sift
like the
internet for it.
The programming is such trash now. It's
oh,
just,
yeah.
Like,
no, there's such
kids
junk.
Kids are glued to YouTube.
They're glued
they
to YouTube,
YouTube,
yeah.
Shit for that are 5-minute intervals.
Yes, for sure.
Like,
yeah, I
had,
see
like,
so much
cool
of that.
Cool fucking content.
Yeah, like, well thought out. Yeah, like...
But, like, it had substance. It had character.
And I think that there's so much junk out there now and so much content. A lot of it is junk, but it's easy for little kids to, I guess, absorb the junk. But like you said, like, if you think about, like, the real Ghostbusters, like, if you rewatch some of that, some of it's really well written. Good stuff.
It's great, and, but it's, like, approachable.
Yeah, it's approachable, but also, like, you know, a little spooky for kids. I mean, you know, some of this stuff, even my wife was watching it, and she was like, oh, wow, like, you know, that's creepy, but also, like...
You know who was, like, one of the more, like, scarier villains in that show is the Pumpkinhead guy.
Pumpkinhead guy's great. Like, Sandman, I think, is really probably top. I'll haunt your dreams, and is a creepy, like animated, like But yeah, the Pumpkinhead guy is creepy.
Man, as a kid, that was like my.
There's the Boogeyman. I love that show. I didn't get to watch too much of it as a kid because in the earlier 90s, it was really coming off TV.
I had like VHS that I recorded.
That's exactly.
And I probably watched the same 10 episodes.
Same here. Same here. Yeah. I had like the same 10 episodes that I watched. I remember, so there's like 150,
at
you know.
The end
so
of
I,
it, like very, very end of it. I'm talking 95.
Mm.
They were on like USA Network
yes.
at like 6 a.m.
Yeah.
Like,
yes, that's it.
I would like.
See, I didn't have a cable at that point. I had to get them on ABC at 6 a.m. on a Saturday. So they would play an episode, and my dad would, like, VHS record them.
I'd be like, Dad, he would record them for me.
Yeah.
But they would be on, like, ungodly hours.
6 a.m. on a Saturday, and that was it. One episode. And, like, so it would take you to watch four episodes. It's a month. And that's an eternity to a kid. And it was always the same feel.
They only did that for maybe...
Yeah, if that.
Like, this 80s trash.
Like, yeah. So like you said, I only about... 10 episodes of the same one. So even so, some of the best ones I never got to see as a little kid.
It
I get to rewatch
Netflix
now as an adult.
Briefly?
Yeah, for a while. Or a while back, I should say.
I want to say, is five it still on like a foreign Netflix?
No. What you can do is.
Is it streaming anywhere?
They're putting the episodes. I think the company is putting episodes on YouTube now. They have like season one on YouTube.
YouTube sucks.
Well, I think the expectation is that it won't be up forever, you know. But I think season one of The Real Ghostbusters is on YouTube right now.
But that's probably 18 ads that you're watching on TV.
Well, yeah, you're not going to get Netflix, you know, no ads.
It was on briefly.
Oh, I know. Yeah, it was probably going about five years ago. Probably around the time we started the podcast.
It was on. 6 month window.
Yeah, it might have been about a year.
I watched.
You were the one who told me about it.
I watched probably half of them, maybe a third.
Yeah.
I don't know. I watched at least 40 episodes.
Turn that mic to your head. Make sure the B2 is facing your head.
B2.
Yeah, I see it here.
Yeah.
Well,
but we got some new equipment here. We're upgrading slowly but
surely.
We're upgrading.
We got some production value here, don't we? I mean, some people have like amazing studios. Ours is like falling apart. There's pipes in the ceiling.
A little asbestos, never hurt anybody.
Yeah, you know, well, it was cheap, you know, to rent the studio.
Speaking of Ghostbusters, I sent an article this morning. Ecto Cooler's returning.
Yeah, you know what? I'm looking at my phone when you wrote that. I was like, oh, that's great. And then I see the comments under, and everybody's like, bullshit. So it's coming back, but in an extremely limited capacity. And that's why I responded to it.
It's a promotional item.
But promotional is like... What does that mean? You know, we're going to be able to buy it on eBay for $150 for a pack of six?
It's going
to
be like movie events, I guess, through the studio.
So we're not going to be able to get much of this stuff.
No.
Like, come on. You couldn't bring it back to full retail. Like, it's just a tease. What's the point? There's got to be this demand for it.
Even do it, at least you can buy it online from Coca-Cola.com.
That's it. Coca-Cola.com.
$20.
Ghostbusters After. Exactly. Full retail.
I would have paid $20 for a phone.
I would have bought a bunch of cases. That was a fun summer, 2016.
Even if you sent, all right. 12 pack is $20. I would have bought a 12 pack.
I would have bought a number of them. I would have probably bought a bunch because.
Well, I bought like 100. Yeah, give me 5 cases.
I would have bought a bunch.
Sleeves, they were in sleeves.
Sleeves. Well, so, yeah, sleeves for the cartons, the juice boxes, as opposed, and they also did cans last time.
I didn't get any cans.
Oh, you didn't? I got both, yeah. Because
the cans
were
like
some
online and shit.
Oh, my mom was able to scoop a few cans. She's like, look, I got Ecto Coolers.
I remember.
So she remembered them as from
funny,
the 80s and 90s.
I was like working supermarkets doing beer at the time, and I was like at ShopRite as they got a shipment.
Right.
So I called
you were the one to tell me which stores had them.
Yo, ShopRite got it. Like,
ShopRite
got here like in the next hour.
In the New York metro area, ShopRite was the only store that had them.
You got there in an hour and you got like the last two or three.
Yeah, I bought, and I didn't just buy a sleeve. I bought the cases of sleeves, which was like five sleeves.
They had like a whole pallet and it sold out in an hour.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Because everyone that like us, they see, they call their friends.
Yeah, the handful of nerds spread the word, yeah.
And this is like a very sought after item.
Yes, yes.
So like. Once, ShopRite.
It makes you wonder, though, why don't they don't want to, like, there's not a little money for them to make on this? I don't understand. It's they just don't give them.
I mean, they have the recipe. They own the rights. The production probably costs pennies.
It's the same old fucking stuff. What's the problem?
And the nostalgia, now's the time to do it because you're coming out with a new Ghostbusters.
Yeah, that was the whole thing. Hopefully another Ghostbusters come out movie and they'll do it again because that's what they did.
And they wasted on, like.
It was the best thing to come out of the 2016.
I was like, you wasted on that abortion of the movie.
Nobody talks about that movie anymore. We mentioned, anytime Ghostbusters gets mentioned on this podcast.
Leslie Jones is like, you guys are racist. You guys hate women. It's like, no, we just don't sour. Like you because you're a terrible actress.
No, it's not even her. The movie was sour. You know,
it was poor.
The thing is that humor didn't work for that movie, and that's the short
part of it. Well, it just didn't fit the original recipe.
And the thing is that now, and you have to understand, the original recipe cannot be replicated because it was those three actors that made that work. Those three actors aren't in it. And if they are, it's for, you know, a cameo. So the leads of a new movie have to do something different because you cannot replicate what they did before. So it's going to be a different tonal movie. And essentially, we have to just do this new Ghostbusters movie. It's going to essentially be the tone of Stranger Things, you know, with some jokes in it, which is fine because you cannot replicate what they did. There isn't Bill Murray just standing around making stupid, you know, off the cuff
jokes. It's also like it was the 80s. So it was a different charm. It was different. A different time.
It's all different. So, of course, the movie's going to be different tone with the Ghostbusters, you know, the Ghostbusters name behind it. And that's really how that's going to go. And if you go in with that mindset, you should be okay. See, that's the problem. They did, you know, in the 2016 one, they kind of did the kind of humor that they did for the movie Bridesmaids with Ghostbusters. And it really didn't work for everybody. You know, it just didn't. The jokes weren't fine. They ad-libbed a lot of trash. You could tell that they were on set. And, like, the fact that they just redid Ghostbusters, really no one liked. Meaning, like, the old world, the old movies didn't exist. It was just a reboot.
No, it's just trash.
Yeah, like nobody wanted that. It was like, no, just do the passing of the torch. We want Venkman and the rest of them to be.
We want the characters. Yeah. We don't want like a refresh rehash.
No, we don't want to Venkman and all of them to not have existed.
They were trying to enter the woke culture. And so this movie Eternals is coming out. Mm. It has like a 55 on Rotten Tomatoes. They have like all these inclusion characters. I think there's like a gay kiss in the movie.
Great.
And China's like, gay kiss? We're not playing this. No, so it's banned in China already. China's like, we're not airing this movie. So Disney's already like losing big bucks. The whole Chinese market's like absolutely not.
It's so funny how much Disney they try to be woke, but they have to not be woke because
can't be woke in China.
Their biggest market is China, and China don't fuss around with that kind of stuff.
But so like the reviews are terrible. I think the Marvel nerd that reads comic books is fed up with the woke Disney shit, and they're like, I don't want to watch this crap. Mm. I don't want to watch. I'm a big Marvel fan. I don't want to watch this crap. And yeah, it's like whole Disney agenda of like, let's just be like,
well, it's just like the same Hollywood writers. Like, I know Disney is involved, but also, you know, the corporate overlords at Disney also know, oh, listen, if it bothers China, we don't want it. But like, it's the same handful of writers doing the same woke stuff in the bubble of California. And I don't think they get that a lot of fans, you know, just don't want.
They don't want their characters changed.
They don't want that. That's for sure.
The stories that they grew up with being gentrified to fit cultural movement of inclusion.
Sure.
There's nothing wrong with inclusion, but you shouldn't have politics and cultural fads affect stories that have been there for generations.
Sure.
You know, Stan Lee wasn't writing about fucking sexual orientations. He was writing about superheroes.
Mm-hmm. But also, and growing up and stuff. Like if you look at like how he wrote Spider-Man or Peter Parker, you know, it was relatable and real. And I understand that, you know, like you have Miles Morales, and that, you know, kind of and I guess that's a piece of inclusion in itself. But as long as it happens more organically as opposed
Is a good word. You don't want it forced.
Yeah. And a lot of it does feel forced.
That's why
I think
Star Wars failed. Like, you had all these.
I don't think that was Star Wars' biggest problem. I think Star Wars' biggest problem.
It was part of the failure.
I think a lot of people maybe blew that out of proportion.
But, like, let's add characters that have no purpose.
You talk about Rose?
Rose.
I think we're all. Well, the thing is that you couldn't.
Finn had no purpose and he sucked.
Well, the thing is that that's poor writing because it's fine to fit them in if it all works. And they failed on where those things should have went.
So,
because Finn could have had a great arc. You could have did better things with Rose.
Let's talk about a movie that worked. Let's talk about a new movie that was great. Let's talk about a movie that
there's
fits
new
that
movies
genre.
That work. Where, Sean? Tell me.
So, Dune.
Okay, Dune.
Science fiction opus.
Beautiful. A lot of it, the original book, a lot of inspiration for Star Wars and George Lucas with the desert and the spice.
It's not
everyone knows that.
It's
at this
not
point.
To the level of Lord of the Rings, but it's considered one of the quintessential
sci-fi fantasy
novels like ever written.
Yes, for sure.
And the movie, so they came out of the movie in the 80s.
Yeah.
It's Patrick Stewart, the guy from Twin Peaks. I can't remember his name. He's in our Portlandia as well. Yeah. He's a big guy. He's been around forever. I don't remember his name offhand.
He's in Blue Velvet and all those movies. Yeah, he's
It was not terrible, but it was a little, for the 80s, it didn't age well.
No, and it also, you know, it was kind of a commercial flop. You know, nobody really, it's only kind of like science fiction people remember
Dune. That's
why
it took 40 years to someone approach this project.
Well, sure, because it's expensive, it's bloated,
and it's a massive, massive project.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
So they have this new kind of the it actor, Timothée Chalamet or whatever. He's like the new, like, big actor guy. So he's the main character.
Yes.
And you have a ton of big actors in it.
Did you write this? Where did you watch this?
It's on HBO Max and theaters. So you have Oscar Isaac. You have Jason Momoa's in it. Oscar Isaac. Mm-hmm. This guy, Timothée Chalamet.
Yeah.
Josh Brolin's in it.
And they're all pretty young. The kid, Timothée Chalamet, how old is he? 22 years old?
So he's like the big, you know, next it actor. But yeah, you have, I just named four huge actors in it.
Sure.
So you have it. Oh, Zahana, whatever her name is.
Not Zoe Saldana. Zendaya.
Zendaya. Yeah. She's in it. So you got like a pretty big cast. And not to do any spoilers or anything. It's essentially like space politics. And there are these different factions fighting to control this like shitty desert planet.
Right.
But this shitty desert planet has this thing called spice.
Everybody wants the spice. Mines of Kessel.
They explain that spice is this substance that you need for like interstellar travel. So this movie takes place 8,000 years in the future from now. So it's like the year 10,000 or something.
And it's in this galaxy.
Yeah.
Unlike Star Wars.
So there's different planets of people. And there's like there's an emperor which you don't even see, which is also like Star Wars. So there's an emperor of like this galaxy. And it's very similar to Star Wars that you don't even see him in the first movie.
Right, you only
hear about
it. George took a lot of inspiration from that. So Dune did do it first. But
Dune, you hear...
George did it better. Star Wars did it better.
You hear 7-8 references to the Emperor.
Emperor. Just like in the original Star Wars.
You don't see him?
I have just received word that the Emperor has dissolved the Council permanently. And
so
like,
you don't see
him. Who's this Emperor guy? What does he look like?
Yeah, so it's very cool.
Mean as shit.
Like Star Wars thing, it's on a desert planet, Tatooine. I think it's called Caracas or something.
Yes, the main desert planet with the big worms. That's the one with the spice, though.
And so the spice you need for... You can't, like, travel dimensions without this spice.
Okay.
It, like, helps you navigate through star systems or something. So they said it's the most valuable commodity in the entire universe. So, like, if you can control the spice trade,
you got everything.
The wealth and power beyond measure. So everyone's kind of fighting over controlling the spice trade. And then there's... there's these people that already live on the planet.
Sure.
They're called Freemans. So they're like equivalent of like Native American. Like they are like inferior technology. They're kind of like taken advantage of and they don't get any benefits.
You're going to buy the island of Manhattan from them for
$22. So all these galactic empires are taking all their resources and they're like living in the boroughs, like squandering life.
Sure.
So you have all these political factions. It's a tremendous movie.
So you were a big fan then?
I loved it.
I have HBO Plus. I gotta check it out.
It's two and a half hours.
I gotta watch all this shit.
These are two new contents that I both give two thumbs up.
Which is shocking because usually it's ass. You know, we're just ragging on whatever we watch.
I'd say 2/3 of my reviews, this sucks.
Two-thirds? It's like fucking 80% all ass.
And I'm giving both.
Big two thumbs up. So
90% Rotten Tomato scores. I'm giving two.
And here
thumbs
I am watching The Next Generation again, which took me like 2 months because it's 200
this
episodes.
This is brand new, fresh content released in 2021. That's actually quality entertainment.
That's promising. Dune's not original, but
it's a remake from a movie they made 40 years ago and a book written 7 years ago.
Yes, and everybody's kind of been looking forward to them to redo you, and at least science fiction people, because this is a promising story there to be done well.
And they're filming the second movie, and
how many Dune books are there?
There's four, I believe.
Okay,
I read the first one. Yeah, it's like a literary classic.
Oh, it's a literary classic.
I couldn't really
get through it.
The second book I like is when I gave up. First book was great. The second book got too like intense and weird, and I gave up on it.
Sure.
But I am reading now these Dungeons & Dragons books, which are phenomenal.
Oh, yeah. So we've heard.
They're following this character, Drizzt, like Durden, and he's like a dark elf.
Yeah.
And they kind of explore his progression from the Underdark, which is this like kind of evil, sinister place, to go into like the light world.
Are there any
and it's just all these
nods to the game in any
yeah,
way?
Yeah, so it's all full. It's just all Dungeons & Dragons lore.
Sure.
And their character base is tremendous.
You've played D&D before.
Yeah, and I've been playing it more lately.
I haven't played it in 20 years, but I did play
it. I enjoy it.
Are you the DM, or are you just a
paladin? I have DM, but
DM being Dungeon Master for the uninitiated.
Yeah, so you kind of control the game and the rules, and you kind of like...
You kind of like the storyteller
You guide the story,
and you set the rules. You roll your dice behind your little thing.
And then, like, you roll for the monsters.
Yeah. Okay, he rolled an 18, so he's going to hit the shit out of you.
Exactly. But great books. There's like 23 books.
Remember the D&D movie that they made in like 2001?
It was in Marlon Wayans.
Oh, and what's his name?
Marlon Wayans, guy I remember.
Jeremy Irons.
Fucking hot trash. Hot trash.
Time to die. He says something like that in the movie, and it's just...
That's the problem, is the franchise has had a lot of blunders.
That was a bad blunder.
He just came out a new video game.
Marlon Wayans was like the Jar Jar Binks of that movie, if you don't remember.
He was like the jester or something.
It was just horror. But he's talking in modern day slang. But it was a disaster.
No.
I think Jeremy Irons said he did it because he just bought a house. And he needed
like,
to
pay for his house.
He needed to pay for his mansion, yeah.
Yeah, that was big time schlock.
Woo! Yeah, I didn't get through with that movie. I just watched pieces of it and just turned it off like when it was on TV once. But I do remember... We were actually in the same school at the time when it was coming out. And it was kind of like, oh, yeah. Because we were in Magic. We played a lot of Magic the Gathering at that time.
So it was popular within the MTG
community,
world.
For sure. And us being playing at the time, that was, similar thing. I didn't see it in theaters,
When we would play our cards, we'd be in these game stores, comic book stores, where they would have D&D stuff.
Publications.
So we were always around it.
Exactly. If me and you were not directly playing D&D.
But we were around it. We had exposure to it.
Plenty of exposure by other people playing it around us, even though we did play it, and you say you've been playing it even more recently. And then also stuff like Warhammer, of course.
Warhammer's really cool.
Yeah.
But
I loved at the old card store, Alternate Realm here, in Eltingville, Staten Island, they had the whole table that's like the
so these figurines, first off, are like absurdly expensive.
Oh, yeah. I remember the owner of the store just painting them painstakingly.
So, dude, the paints cost like $30.
Very
expensive.
The
figure cost, it's like $60
for a
figure that's 3 inches
painting
tall.
Painting Warhammer figures all day. You know, that was what he'd do during the off time of the office.
So essentially you have a Warhammer army, you're looking at thousands of dollars.
Absolutely.
And you see...
It always looked cool, but I was too young
to get
into it.
They look... Oh, man. I can't even paint them now.
No, yeah. He would have his little monocle on, his little magnifying glass, just painstakingly...
They have, like, a very rich community. And apparently Magic the Gathering is doing a Warhammer collaboration.
Oh, wow. That'll be really...
It's supposed to be 2022.
Like, Urza.
So it would be, like, Warhammer lore and Magic cards, which is similar to the D&D set.
Very cool. They should do vice versa, too. That'd be very cool.
So, he said it's announced 2022. I don't know when, but we'll see it within the next year or so.
Very cool. Did you, speaking of which, did you see the micro documentary of Neutral Ground?
Absolutely not. This is
oh my god. We put it on the RetroGate podcast page. I'm not even aware of this. Oh man, it's like a 13-minute documentary.
Oh, so it's a very short but sweet.
Yeah, it's a micro documentary about Neutral Ground and about Brian David Marshall, the owner of
Neutral
Ground.
Is there like free footage of when we were there?
There's footage. Yeah, there's not a ton, but there's footage. Yeah, like that's where we played.
Man,
you know,
where'd you find this spot?
It's like on the Magic the Gathering YouTube page. It just came out. Like,
is it called? I'm gonna watch this like ASAP.
Oh yeah, it's great. It's and then
Neutral Ground to me is like a very like almost not holy, but
it is holy,
powerful place in my memories of like
absolutely
like adolescence and growing up.
Spent a lot of our youth year time there, especially given
that
it
was just so cool because you were like in Manhattan,
as a
12-year-old
in a 10,000-square-foot loft with 18-foot ceilings or whatever.
You
played
with all these strangers. It was like a simpler time.
Very simpler time.
And like
fun.
You would eat like a fucking
carefree world. I mean, of course, that a lot of that has to do with our being in our youth. But it's a pre-9/11 New York where you know, you can, as a 12-year-old, take the bus into Manhattan and play Pokemon or Magic
like,
the Gathering.
No one would ever do that now. You let your kid go to the city at 12 and play cards?
And it wouldn't even exist because
there's no venues
that'll
for
be
kids
$10 million.
Cards.
Yeah, like who can even afford that in today's... You know,
it was
impossible.
Gigantic. Just
so
like,
so can we give a little, if we could give a little background to what Neutral Ground was. Neutral Ground was essentially this card store, but it was also like a gaming place. It was a big loft in Manhattan.
It was the gaming place of Manhattan.
It was on the 7th floor, I believe, or 6th. They say it in the documentary.
They had the black flags hanging out.
That was how you knew. So on West 26th Street in Manhattan, there was this bit. So if the first time I went, I was like, where is it? Where is it? And they have a big...
You introduced me to
flag.
It.
Yeah, who knows who told me.
I don't know
me.
Who told you, but you were like, oh, we got to go to see.
Sure, I
cards.
Heard through word of mouth from the group.
You drowned the spot. You introduced me to it.
Yeah.
And then I played there for probably 4 or 5 years.
Big black flag on West 26th saying that's at neutral ground with their symbol.
It had these like kind of like an eye almost. It was like,
yeah,
weird...
well, there it is. Right there we had the mats. Yeah, it's just like a little symbol.
These fucking
mats. I had them from back in the day.
These are beautiful.
Mats. Yeah, beautiful.
I tried to buy them. They don't exist.
They don't exist. Yeah, there was like a t-shirt, neutral ground t-shirt.
And you wouldn't even
sell like
me
Etsy.
One. I tried to buy
no,
one
No, these are staying with me till I'm dead, yeah. Like,
And you know what? They're not mid-condition, but they're not
that. No, I mean, I ate pizza on them a number of times.
Yeah,
while, you
can
know.
See like some coffee and stuff.
Coffee
stains.
And pizza stains on them, but they're...
But they're not as beat up as you think they'd
no,
be.
No, for 20-year-old mats. And also, you know, given that, you know, they're not like they were a high-quality mat. These were like the free giveaways during one of their tournaments. Not like I didn't pay for those.
You must have... I don't know where the fuck you got these.
I don't recall one. What tournament. There was a tournament where enter the tournament and you get a free play mat. And I was somehow snagged too.
Probably like took Steve's or something.
Yeah, exactly. That's probably what happened, yeah. So they gave us free play mats, you know, for when you play Magic the Gathering or Pokemon. But it was a big loft. It's essentially a card store. Of course, Warhammer, everything else. They even had a gaming section for
online
gaming. Yeah,
I remember. I have memories
with
of
the old big...
No, they're all playing like Diablo 2.
Diablo
2. Like EverQuest. And
yeah, but,
these, like,
and, but the big old tube TVs, you know, like script monitors.
It was like this little like cove of like...
Yeah.
Fat hot pocket eating nerds.
Yes,
like,
yes, it was
just
like
clicking away.
It was long before the
you'd
pay
for the internet.
Of course, you had
so
to.
It'd be like $5 for the hour. Or
yeah, exactly. Like and then, but they did have that. But it was before that was like a modern pop culture trope that like South Park kind of made it that way for World of Warcraft episode.
This is about 7-8 years before.
Exactly,
that.
Exactly.
It's
so
like
this
the
was,
origins.
Yes, this was the origins of that, where the gaming like nerdy underground hot pock eating greasy gaming community, you know, like and that was a thing.
And you would see because you walk in and then they have like the.
And it's an elevator. You take an elevator up to like the 6th or 7th
like
floor.
It's a freight elevator.
It's a freight elevator that you take up to the 6th or 7th floor.
The whole experience as a 12-year-old is so cool.
Amazing. Yeah, it was great as a young person to do that. And then you the elevator opens up and you're right in there. You just, it's not even like a hallway. You're right into this big loft.
The glass cases had these magic cards of.
As we've talked about many times, Sean does not remember, but there was, of course, a Black Lotus there at all times.
I just
times.
Remember Time Walk and Ancestral Recall.
Yeah, but of course they were there too, but they never had a blackboarded Lotus, but they had a white.
They just had
Lotus.
These magic cards that were even like, oh, wow. Yeah. It's like you're looking at like a relic.
Yes, because, well.
And you're a 12-year-old, so you have like $20 in your pocket.
Oh, yeah.
And these things are like. Something that you can never afford.
What's crazy is that Black Lotus at that time was really only 5 or 6 years old, but even then it was like an untouchable, to us anyways, to 12-year-olds, was an untouchable item.
And it's only gotten even...
Well, now it's really untouchable,
as
yeah.
30-year-olds.
It's as untouchable now as it was for us then.
It's like something that we'll never physically own unless you won the lottery, because you can't justify spending...
$50 to $150 to $500,000, which
but
was on
even
the...
Even if you get a whiteboarder, you're looking at... $10,000-$15,000 for
yeah, I think even maybe more now.
And that's
PSA
for like a beat up.
Yeah, exactly. PSA
beat
4.
Up.
You could pay
revised.
$10,000. Yes, revised beat up PSA
beat
4.
Beat up like shittier whiteboarder is $10,000 to $15,000.
That's what they had in there though. They had a whiteboarder Lotus at the time
but
in 1999. $400.
$15,000 for not even like the nice version. This
right.
is like the shitty.
That's
version.
That's how expensive they are now. Yeah.
So even as a 30-year-old, this is unobtainable.
It's the same level of unobtainable as it was as a 12-year-old.
And it's only going to get to the point where it's like, it's going to be more expensive than fucking diamonds.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. It's like a like black Lotus, like a Bitcoin.
The Moxies are actually the price of real diamonds. In like
real life. We went over that, how Mox Sapphire would be more expensive than a real, like, you know, heavy sapphire.
So, yeah, no, that's, I have to watch a documentary.
It's a great little documentary. It's a lot about Brian David Marshall, because he started the place, who actually I've had beef with in the past, because he booted me out during a Magic tournament.
Well, because kicked out of competitive play for your Pokemon shenanigans.
Yeah. I was the number one Pokemon player in the world, but they didn't have many Pokemon tournaments there. I played in a couple, but mostly Magic. We mostly did Magic.
Yeah. I don't think I ever played Pokemon there. I played Pokemon at a more local level.
I played two tournaments there.
And then
Pokemon,
we did a lot of like regional tournaments.
We did a lot. Oh, yes. But because Pokemon, for whatever reason, was not as popular. Like, that was specifically Magic the Gathering. And they had Warhammer on the side. And, of course,
I had a memory of being there playing like a draft or something. And there was like these adults, probably our age at the time.
Right. Or maybe younger. There's right. a lot of 20-somethings.
As a 12-year-old, I'm like, all those guys are old.
Right. If they're 22, they look like grown men.
They were definitely older than that. They were probably 30.
Okay.
And they were playing Risk. And I was like,
oh, yeah.
And I'm like, oh, I could play Risk with my dad and like some of my cousins and stuff. So I always thought Risk was like a really cool game.
Yes.
I was very impressed that these guys were like 30 years old
playing a full out game of Risk in a loft in Manhattan. and it kind of legitimized what we were doing because these grown men are spending their time doing it. Like, you know, and I remember the first time I saw John Finkel there, which was at the time the top Magic player in the world. And I knew who, of course, he was as a 12-year-old. You know who the top players are. And it was like
a random week.
I don't know why I was there on an evening weekday. So weird, you know. How did I get there? It might have been the summer. Yeah.
The summers I went, but I remember a few times like I went by myself.
Right. Well, so did I. Which doesn't even make any sense anymore.
Two other people I went.
How did I go there by myself?
Well, I would call like you or like you guys couldn't go. Or whatever.
Yeah, you just
and I had like nothing to do. And I want to go.
Yeah.
So I would just go by myself.
That must have happened to me too.
And I remember going a handful of times by myself.
I went a handful of times
and it was
by myself.
Fine.
Too.
Like I would just talk to strangers.
Talk to strangers. They're all doing the same stuff, and you fit yourself into a couple tournaments.
One time, I ordered a Domino's like personal pizza to the loft because you could order food.
You could order food right up to the loft.
So everybody would order food. Yeah. And it would be
you could buy food there. They had a frozen thing of like Hot Pockets and like those frozen like chicken sandwiches
like, cool
and a microwave.
Because everybody would order like all this cool Manhattan food.
Yes.
So when you're like from Staten Island, you're like, oh, what's that?
Yeah. Chinese food down the block, and then
so
they
everybody
got
would order
Thai
food.
So yeah.
That was part of the lore.
That was part of it. Yeah, it was
you
all an
go
experience.
Out for lunch, you'd order the lunch.
You'd order the lunch. Yeah.
And eat it there. That was part of the lore.
And you just spent fuck eight to in the documentary they talk about how these guys. One of the guys, V. Moshewitz, who I knew as I seen him there a number of times. It was a top magic player at the time. He got stuck there on Christmas. Like apparently, like they locked the thing, and he just got stuck there. And he just like
that's pretty
just
cool.
played Matt like he just I don't know. And then they like and then as they came in the next day, I guess January 1st, no, maybe
26th, yeah.
Created the 26th. He ate like a lot of food. He left the money for it and just like left and like as they came in the next day.
That's a story though. Like that's a cool story.
Yeah. I don't know how he got like locked in, but
there's another documentary. It's not new at all. This is probably like 2012, 2013. It was on Hulu, but it's long gone now. You have to find like the deep crevices of the web.
Yeah.
It's King of Chinatown. And he was our favorite, Chinatown Fair.
Oh man. Yeah. China Fair.
And it, kind of tells the story about Justin Wong, who was a very famous fighting game player. So
yes,
he won
yes,
all
yes.
these tournaments, Evo. He's super famous in the fighting game community.
Yeah.
And his local haunt was China Fair.
Oh, yeah.
So they kind of show him going there in 2010. It's like right before it closed.
Right before it closed. It has reopened, but it's not the same.
So I went recently. In the summer, I went in. So I was in Chinatown, my family.
I walked in recently. I didn't go in the whole deep end, but like, cause it's not, it's not the same.
I did a full like tour of the store and it's the same like subterranean kind of thing. But first thing I noticed is just so bright.
It used to be a dark, dingy. And now
like
they have like heavy, bright fluorescence and it's, and like white floors and it's like really bright and white, which it didn't used to be.
Dark, dirty and smoky. People would be
smoking
cigarettes and shit.
Yeah. I remember the first time I went in there was with Dave Holman. It was like a weekday cutting school. And he was at the time trying to get really good at Dance Dance Revolution, which was like a thing. You know, I don't know if you remember.
It's like how, early 2000s.
Early 2000s. It was like 2001, 2002. Probably early 2002. Maybe late 2001 sometime. I don't remember. Sometime around that area. And we went in on a weekday and it's packed, mind you, and it's dark. And it's smoky.
And sweaty
because it's crowded. With like, and then there's kids battling in Dance Dance Revolution. And it was like, you know, kind of in the same way that Neutral Ground was. Oh, wow. Tournament. Like, these guys are this is the best. You know, like a big tournament game going on.
And I always played Marvel's Capcom, too.
Which was right near the Dance Dance Revolution.
There would be a line of play. So, like, you'd play if you won, you stood on.
Sure.
And I was on a roll one day. I don't know what it was. Like George playing.
Oh, I've heard. Well, you probably told this story in the cast.
It was George like playing Frogger.
Yeah, the perfect combination of Mountain Dew and mozzarella.
So I was just on a roll, and I'm just grooving that day. I'm getting all the combos. I'm blocking. I'm just killing it. So I get like 5 wins in a row, and I'm like, oh. And I'm beating like these like very good players in like the most competitive arcade in New York City.
Yeah.
And this little boy, freaking, must have been like 8 years old, like Hello Kitty backpack, little Chinese boy, comes up, barely like face over barely, the counter.
Barely see over the
barely over the controls.
Cabinet. Yeah.
And he fucking whoops. Destroys me.
Sean goes 7-0 and then gets smoked by an 8-year-old.
8-year-old, like 50-pound Chinese boy, just destroyed me with his Hello Kitty backpack.
That's great. That's a classic story. Speaking of which, we just did the Feast of San Gennaro. We just squeezed it in. And then afterwards, we go to, of course, Barcade. And me and you did, well, first of all, I smoked everybody in Street Fighter 2. That
you
goes,
did? So you did smoke.
I smoked everybody, so don't worry about it, Sean. I smoked you. I smoked the other guy. I smoked
your friend Jeremy.
Jeremy. Yeah. I smoked my wife.
You
I smoked
beat
my
everybody. Cousin.
I beat your cousin.
Yeah, you were on a roll.
I was on a roll that night for some reason.
You were the Street Fighter, but Donkey Kong, you were terrible.
No, let's not go that far. Sean placed, and then I placed. You placed second.
I placed
on the list,
second,
and then
on
I
the
placed
scores.
Third.
I think I cleared 5 or 6 screens.
I cleared 3 screens on Donkey Kong Original. So let's not say I did horrible. In the end of the night, I redeemed myself and got right under you.
I placed second.
I have
in
the picture
the,
of it
I,
to prove it.
High scores. So yeah. I was on a roll of Donkey.
You did
but
good.
Street Fighter, I played like shit.
It's vice versa for me. But I did redeem myself a little bit with Donkey Kong by placing third. And now remember, that's not all time.
It was a very fun night. I try to go there once a year, and it's
yeah.
San Gennaro, then go to Barcade.
Yeah, we've been
it's
doing that.
10-minute walk.
10-minute walk. You walk right over there and
you
just
play some classic.
I actually walked from Brooklyn that night. I walked. We were in Brooklyn.
We did a little like wife date night thing.
Yeah, we did. I did date night. So we went near the Brooklyn Bridge Park there. It's like, you know, that whole thing is kind of built up over there. So we hung out over there, mellowed out. Let's
so
watch
what
a
did
view.
So San Gennaro is all about the food. So what did you eat? Where'd you go?
We sat down and ate at La Mela in Manhattan, which is actually really the first time.
Is the place I introduced you to, the Brick?
No, that we almost ate there. They had a long ass wait. That's Bella Casabella.
Yeah, that's my favorite.
That's
moment.
Sean's favorite spot, which me and Sean have ate there for some. Like, I think it was like, why did we eat there as 2 14? We ate there when we were like 14.
And Penny Store name.
Yeah, Penny Store name. Why are we
spent
all fancy?
Our, we spent
restaurant?
All our money on this one lunch.
Yeah,
and left like a $1 tip.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I'm just like, in Manhattan, like, how did we even? Like, play that. You know,
other
sitting
people,
down meal for 2 14-year-olds in Manhattan.
Other people at 14, they're like eating McDonald's.
Yeah.
They're eating like.
I did that all the time at the time, though. I ate at so many restaurants at that time period. It made no sense. I can't even fathom
we were classy 14-year-olds.
I guess. It doesn't make no fucking sense. But
dude,
like,
we both had like $20 in a while.
How did we afford? I guess restaurants were a bit cheaper then, but still, like.
You could probably. It was probably like a lunch special for like.
$13. I guess, but I'm sure we also weren't thinking, oh, let's get the lunch.
And then
special.
We're also like, oh shit, we have to pay for soda.
Yeah, soda.
Next thing you know, it's
tip.
Like $16.
Yeah, you know, and even 20 years ago, you know, so it's it is
we
crazy.
We did go there. I would say like 2003, maybe.
Yeah,
we
2003.
We jumped
for the latest, but probably 2003.
It's been delicious since.
Yeah.
That's my go-to
mulberry
spot.
It's so fun. Yeah, and it's the same kind of corner brick facade.
It's like
got
brick
that, like,
and
marble.
It's like pink and gold.
Yeah, like marble kind of, and it says Casabella. So yeah, I've ate there with Sean. La Mela was our friend of the cast, Fat Mike. That was his spot.
Well, he said every spot was his spot.
Well, La Mela was the main one.
Oh,
La Mela.
He's like, he's my uncle.
Which I've ate at Umberto's Clam House before, too, at a feast a few years ago, which was very good.
What is the dessert coffee place?
Ferrara.
Ferrara's, yes.
Yeah. Which I had Ferrara's last feast, which is 2 years ago, because COVID killed last year's feast. So 2 years ago, we got Ferrara. It was a ripoff, you know, like, because it was the feast pricing. It was, feast pricing. You get a cannoli, you
and
get
a
seven-layer thing.
$18.
Yeah, and it was literally $20 for, like, a little pack. You know, I was like, oh, fuck you. You know,
the
rate
prices
pricing.
Were out. So I remember getting a salsa pepper for, like, $8-$9. I think it was, like, $17 this year. It was...
I didn't get sausage and pepper. I ended up getting I got a few rice balls, arancinis, and it was like 12 for like 3 little rice balls. And then we ended up sitting down to eat at La Mela, which the meal was $1.20. But tip included.
Did you get wine and beer or anything?
She got wine, yeah. Maybe a glass. But tip was included. It was like tip included. That's it.
I think they do that because you get all these like cheapo European
Stiff.
Tourists that don't tip.
Yeah, tip was included. So I was fine. Because
Americans
have
tip culture. So
yeah,
all these tourists in this city, like, oh, let's go to this festival. They don't want to tip.
I was thinking about that last night. When
That's
I was
why
in
they do it.
Paris, I felt awkward not tipping like people at restaurants and stuff. But like you're really not supposed to because they'll take it. But it really, you don't have to.
Like, I was in Guatemala. I tipped them, like, $3, and they're like, oh, thank you.
Yeah. I ended up tipping, like, a taxi driver, like, £5. I think, or I gave him a good tip because he was being a little nasty. I'm like, here, buddy, just brighten your day. And he was like, your husband is very good, you know. I'm like, well, thank you. Like talking to, saying that to my wife. But yeah, you don't have to tip there, but I felt like obligated to do
but
it.
That's
anyway.
Why they impose the tips.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because all these people don't, and then whoever other states
even
and stuff.
Even Canadians don't tip that well.
Probably, you know.
We're just but, America has a tip culture.
Yeah, it's a tip culture, which actually sucks. But it said 18% already added. I'm like, shit. All right, like I was gonna give them more than that, but okay, you know, 120 for the whole thing, so be it.
But my sausage pepper was delicious. Good. Phenomenal. Like I eat them in stadiums and stuff.
I was right. I was gonna get one.
They were a higher level than the stadium.
Yeah. You get a because the stadium is just straight up premio, and that's it. The bread is not as
honestly,
good.
You need like them to simmer in that like
oil.
That oil. I just like you need the vegetables,
onions,
to sit there.
And the pepper.
When you order it like a pizzeria, it's like
it's,
made to
order.
Yeah,
made to order.
And it's not good.
You need it simmering on that griddle.
That
you
grill,
know?
Like it, just all the flavor and the
absorbing
smoke.
Absorbing that.
And it's just,
yeah.
The grease and the oil and it's
the smell, it's
and
everything.
You get this, like fresh, like Italian roll.
Yeah, brand new fresh stuff made that morning.
I think I paid $16 and it was well worth it.
Yeah, I know.
And you're just eating on the street.
Eating on the street. It's classic. But it's classic. Like when people, some of our friends were like, I'm done with that. And I'm just like, yo, it's tradition. I get it. Like, you know, but with the fact that it's more expensive now.
Yeah,
like it's,
my girlfriend's not going to eat like a sausage on the street, but.
But for us, it's a tradition.
Yeah, for me, I enjoyed it and I liked it. Yeah. I was with my cousins and my sister for a bit.
I wouldn't, these are traditions that why stop them? You know, the only thing that stopped me from going last year was COVID. They canceled it. You know, it was the first time.
You had a good run. Yeah. I think 2019 I didn't make because you went on like an afternoon. I couldn't go.
We went on a Sunday afternoon, yeah.
But before that.
Because I wanted, because I always go to the feast at night. And I was like, I think it's time to try the feast in the daytime.
So we try to go to Spring Lounge, which is like the bar for San Gennaro.
Yeah, it's the main drag bar, yeah. Right,
it's like
there.
A shark on it.
Yeah,
can't miss it.
Yeah, it's on Spring Street and Mulberry.
My sister's like Vax Pass was expired.
Oh, God.
And like you have to re-update it. And the guy's like, I'm not letting you in. Oh, my She's God. She's like, but. A vaccinated like fucking bozo.
Like it's not like the vaccination expires.
Like it's expired, like scram.
You're like, not the vaccination itself doesn't isn't expired.
So we couldn't go in.
It's lame. Oh, it's so fun. I didn't know that it was
then
your
she,
sister's
like,
card that
she
was expired.
Updated it. Well, then my other idiot cousin didn't have his ID.
Oh,
so he left because we're like, you're a moron.
Yeah, you
and
gotta bring your ID.
She
man.
Updated her pass, and then we got into Barcade, and you missed her by like half an hour, probably.
Yeah, because we were
she just left.
We were walking there. Yeah,
when you got there, she
said
just
10,
left.
15 minute walk.
I was there for like 3 hours.
You must have been there for a while because when I got there,
you
were there
like 11, I'd say.
Yeah, and we stayed
we left
until
like one.
Yeah, we all was able
and
to get.
I got there.
We
like,
hitched a ride out with our good friend Jeremy, but that was clutch because otherwise I would have had to Uber or walk to Brooklyn from Manhattan. And that would have sucked.
That
would have
been
time.
Like $30 Uber, probably.
Or more. It was peak service because of the.
And Uber's such a fucking ripoff.
No, I don't.
Now.
That's what I'm saying. It would have probably been $70 or something.
I
ridiculous.
Left my car somewhere. I was like drinking.
I left my car in Brooklyn. And I walked over the Brooklyn Bridge. And then, you know.
No, but like recently, I left my car Van Duser by my house.
Oh, you had to Uber to it.
I Ubered. It was like $25 to go like.
Uber pricing is nuts.
2 miles, 3 miles. It was like a 10-minute
I have a car. I won't fuck with Uber if I have a car.
It's such a blatant ripoff that you might as well get like a yellow cab at this point.
Yeah. I mean, it'll be cheaper at this point. Because also they do the surge pricing. Their rates have gone up as it was, you know. And I was never a big fan of Uber to begin with. So I don't really do it. And
so,
I didn't intend on walking from Brooklyn to Manhattan, but I said, why don't we walk the Brooklyn Bridge? And I was like, and if we do it, we ain't gonna walk back on the Brooklyn Bridge. Let's just walk all the way to the feast. And that's what we did. It wasn't that bad. From the Brooklyn Bridge to the feast, it wasn't that bad at all.
So how was your Halloween?
Halloween. I went trick-or-treating. I got myself treats with the kids.
I had your son, what was his costume?
He was a skeleton man with a skeleton hat. Kind of looked like
nice.
Baron Samedi, like, from GoldenEye, or from whatever, instead of View to a Kill, Bond movie?
I'm not too versed in the Bonds, honestly. Never a big Bond guy.
Yeah, you weren't. Did you like GoldenEye as a kid?
I like the game.
Yeah, but that was it.
I never saw the movie, actually.
You never saw GoldenEye the movie?
Never.
What?
Never saw it.
Holy shit, you need to go watch it. That's like one of the best ones.
Pierce Brosnan,
opinion.
Right?
Yeah, he's great. One of the best modern ones.
I didn't even
ones.
Watch half the Daniel Craig ones.
That's okay, because half of his weren't that good. Like Spectre and like Quantum of Solace weren't that good. But Skyfall is great.
But
and
like
also,
when it came out, like, someone had to take me to see it, and no one took me. And then
you talk about Skyfall or
no, GoldenEye. Well, and it was like never. It was like never on TV.
That's true.
Why it was never on TV?
I remember when it came out. My dad.
And I didn't have cable either, like you said.
No, I didn't have cable until like the 2000s.
So like,
me too.
Whenever I went to my grandparents' house,
you'll watch that kind of stuff. And then they had the...
When you don't have cable, you're like, oh, this is so much. Look at all this program.
Yeah, yeah. All this programming, so many options.
Now it's like not billions just... of things on your fingertips. Yeah, back then, I'm like, whoa, I got more than 10 channels.
I got three more channels, I know, as opposed to like ABC and Channel 11.
Dude, like we had... We sound like dinosaurs. We had like 8 channels.
That was it. I know. Because I had like...
Kids
think
now
about
be like, what the fuck is this?
In New York, you had Fox 5. You had like ABC 7.
Channel 2. It was 2, 4, 5, 7, 11, 13. That was
That's it.
And then you had the Spanish channels and bullshit.
Everything else that... Yeah, that doesn't count.
It didn't go past... It was 2 to 13.
2, 4, 5, 7, 11, 13. It was 9, too, is UPN.
Oh. UPN.
Can't forget about
UPN.
You notice
we forgot about it. It didn't cater to our...
didn't cater to your demographic, Sean. Sean completely jumped over UPN.
Yeah, I missed the watching the live episodes of the Steve Harvey show.
The Steve Harvey show or like...
Living Color.
Living Color. Yeah. That was really it that they had, you know. I guess eventually they had like Star Trek, like Deep Space Nine and shit like that, but...
They had some cool cartoons in the morning, actually. They had the Extreme Ghostbusters. Which is a short-lived...
Yeah, poster. I remember, oh, great, see, Extreme Ghostbusters, a version of Ghostbusters is back, but I could never really get into it.
It was never that good.
No, there was the wheelchair guy.
And they made the characters, like, too edgy.
They were edgy, punkish, 90s punks, like...
Yeah.
But one of them's in a wheelchair.
And it's like, they look like they were...
It was like woke culture of 1999.
They looked like they were listening to, like, Pearl Jam.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. They were
like, let's get some
they're
ghosts.
Edgy...
And, like, I got...
Edgy, like, grungy, and then like, one of them's getting an earring, and
like the guy has dreads.
He's got a dreads, and then there's the wheelchair guy, and like the only characters that you would remember are like Spengler, Egon, and I think maybe what's her name, the
Ginny, and I think like Slimer was in it.
Slimer, yeah, but that yeah.
But
so
it wasn't
I never
very
really
good. I was very excited for it. I'm like, this kind of sucks.
Same thing. Yeah, I never got into it. I was like, oh well, but where's Venkman? You know.
I'm like, new Ghostbusters. Yeah. Like,
now the characters didn't grab you. Yeah, like, you know, like they were too kind of corporate like design. You know, like hip and edgy and in your face. Never
like
caught
we grew
on.
Up with that. It's a cell phone era. You look around, and so, everyone's just on their phone all day long, 24/7.
Oh yeah, everywhere you go.
And
of course, we all know
people
that
are on dates. People are with their families. They're just kids are like. They're eating spaghetti as they're looking at their tablet.
That reminds me, that's topical. What about Pete Davidson at dinner right now on Staten Island with Kim Kardashian? That's funny. That's a good one. The memes are going around.
Like wildfire.
I love the one of them walking, and it's got Ralph Sices in the back.
I saw the Top Tomato one.
Oh, man.
That one's great.
I got to watch these memes. So,
like,
for anyone
that
doesn't know.
Great Kills, and like Primark.
Like all the Staten Island haunts. They should do, what other Staten Island haunts? They go Bay Street. You have them at like Richmond Republic.
There's a whole bunch of them, and they're hilarious.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. For those that don't know.
So Kim, Pete Davidson, local Staten Island celebrity / moron. this guy has the most beautiful woman on the planet. I don't know. I don't get it.
I guess he's just got the confidence to just...
I think he's just like, she just wants attention. So she's like, oh, if I go date this guy, I'm going to have all the attention in the world. And she thrives on getting paparazzi.
That's all that
she
wants.
She wants to be in magazine covers.
And he says, hey, hot chick, like, I'll have sex with you for a couple of months, you know?
Yeah, so they're not going to get married.
No.
She's going to sleep with him for 3 months. Get all this publicity that she needs and craves and lives on.
Yeah, I mean, it's like their life force.
And then when the story's, when he gets old, she's going to dump him.
Yeah.
That's
sure. And in the end, he walks away.
And then other like hot girls are like, wow, Kim Kardashian banged him. I got him banged.
Yeah.
Too.
You know, and it's like, look, he's getting like all these like top tier pieces. All
right, he's on Saturday Night Live. He had some stand up movie or two. He hasn't done much.
No, he's not like A-list celebrity by any.
You know what I thought was interesting?
He's now become like a well-known comedian or well-known like...
He's just a celebrity.
Publicity, generic celebrity, but mostly really because of all this side shit.
You know what I thought was interesting? He was cast in a new Ramones biopic.
Oh, really? As like Johnny Ramone or somebody?
He's one of the Ramones, mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know which one, but... I mean, he does have look like the lanky, unhealthy...
Yeah, lanky, unhealthy...
Give him like a leather jacket and a haircut. Mm. Could fit the Ramones aesthetic.
Sure.
Getting like a buff, healthy guy to play the Ramones.
I don't know if he's the best actor. Like, you know how many like actors.
I saw King of
comedians.
Staten Island. It was.
I like Kidding of Staten Island.
It was okay.
He's fine in it, but.
I didn't dislike it. I didn't think it was.
He's
great.
Also, remember, he's not really acting there. He's really just kind of playing himself. So, like, can he act? you know, it's a, kind of a different play. But comedians are, do say, like, start as comedians and then, like Jim Carrey or something
gold,
like that.
And apparently they went to dinner at Campania on
Campania
Highland.
Campania on Highland.
And he, like, rented out the rooftop.
It was just the two of them. Yeah. What did he do? He called up and was like, it's Pete Davidson. Can I rent out your rooftop?
Like, oh, all the publicity.
If I was Mr. Campania, I'd be like, sure. You know, now every, like, Staten Island clown is going to want to take his date there.
He's good enough for Kim Kardashian. He's good enough for you.
Kardashian was here. You're a princess. Honey.
Yeah. You're just like Kim Kardashian now.
Listen, this calamari, I need to fry more.
But we need to fry more of this calamari. Yo, Kim Kardashian. I want the Kim Kardashian. What did she have?
Like, that's what people are going to be doing on their dates.
I want the Grey Goose, but like, I don't want ice.
So I don't. No gray. No ice on my Grey Goose. I want my Grey Goose on the rocks.
But sir, we give a set amount. Nah, I said no ice.
I hate Staten Island.
The memes are great.
Yeah, I would assume this is probably not bigger national news, but definitely regionally in Staten Island, people.
It's
highlighting
our obnoxious culture. That's
for sure. I mean,
we get a good laugh at each ourselves. Yeah. But we're defensive. Some like idiot from Pennsylvania is like,
hey, that's our Staten Island you're talking about.
Pennsylvania, calm down.
Yeah, that's our Staten Island you're talking about.
We can laugh at our own obnoxiousness, but
for sure. And it is funny that he's bringing like LA, you know, her like LAS rich wealthy LA aesthetic.
Beverly Hills
LA aesthetic to Staten Island. Like, you know, the funny thing, like the Campania rooftop and you're overlooking Highland Boulevard. I guess maybe you see the Verrazano Bridge in the distance, but in the
end there's
just Highland Boulevard.
It's Mid Island,
yeah. It's
a good larf.
It's a good piece of
next episode we're gonna do a Ghostbusters review.
Yes.
And we're gonna discuss kind of the holiday rush, and
yes, it's coming up soon. Hopefully we'll get it out before Thanksgiving. Well, we have to hopefully we'll do it that way. You say you're gonna see the movie on the 19th, we're gonna see Ghostbusters Afterlife, the days after that we'll get a straight up review in, and then we'll do that. That'll be very fun.
If we see it the 19th, we could probably, this is rare feat for the Retrocade, fit an episode before Thanksgiving.
I would like
that'd
to
be
yeah.
Two episodes in a month.
Well, we kind of have to start squeezing them in, Sean. The last episode was almost 8 weeks ago.
Unheard of for us.
Yeah, I know, because we're like, this is like become a quarterly podcast. four episodes a year. It's kind of
Hey, listen, we're making new content.
We're making new content
slowly
here.
Slowly but surely.
We're making new content.
Star Wars collection expanding.
As you can see, our Star Wars collection's expanding. I just got Prune Face in on his original 1983 77 back.
So I love the price tag on it.
You like
some,
that, right?
Some store I never heard of. It's $2.
AFES, AAFES, at $2.85. This figure cost me about $70.
So I showed you.
It's Prune Face original.
A few days ago when I saw a listing for Proton Pack original inbox.
Yes, Sean was showing me a Proton Pack original 1987, and whatever.
Those things inbox are extremely rare.
Oh, like Sean, you said about $800.
Yeah, $800. But those pieces, it's a beautiful, beautiful piece.
I love those. Yeah, Too Rich for My Blood. And the same kind of, you know, of course, the same packaging.
It's the aesthetic of these.
Yeah, the same style. Of course,
like,
these are the reissues.
Walmart just give what the fans want? So speaking of Walmart, I purchased the
Walmart
Beast Wars
and Target's like exclusives, and their distribution is a disaster.
So I bought the
if
Beast
you're into
Wars.
These kind of
I love Beast Wars. You remember the
Yeah,
TV show.
You were telling me, Sean. They reissued
this
Beast Wars
1995.
Figures. Oh, wow,
Beast
it goes
Wars
back that far. Yeah.
The Beast Wars 1995 re-release. So same as this Ghostbuster pack, same exact packaging from 1995.
Yes, from the original 90s.
And it was these giant figures. And back then, they were like $15-$20. They're like $15, I think, in 1995. Because they were like big and like you could transform between a monkey and like a dinosaur.
Yes.
And they had all these features and weapons and things. And now it's $50.
Oh, my God. I figured you were going to say
I paid $100 for both of them. And that's retail.
Damn.
That's not even like
it marked up on eBay prices.
Oh,
yeah.
The fucking scalpers, that'd probably be like $100
or more. They usually double
but
it.
I saw
yeah.
them and it was like very limited window to buy
Ooh,
them. And I'm like,
you just nabbed them?
Like, these look so cool to display. And like, these are just vintage 90s collectibles that like I enjoyed.
Classics,
so I bought them.
Yeah.
So,
similar,
I don't buy new toys. I buy anything from like a very specific window.
It's pretty much with me. Well, I do Star Wars vintage collection, but it's, you know, that's very throwback. It's very retro. And then, of course, I'm collecting the original 97 Star Wars figures.
I've noticed,
I'm having
the same problem as you, as being an adult. I don't have room for this shit.
No.
And I'm waiting until I, like...
That's why, like, I'm just individual figures, because I can't do vehicles anymore. They're just tremendous. Where do you put them?
waiting, like,
I have the sales, the job, the sales barge.
I'm waiting for, like, to get my next house and kind of when I move into my own.
My basement's
place.
Filled with this stuff, and you know, it's like it is kind of crazy. But these are, I have a display coming that I'm going to put on the wall, and that's going to be
your wife, my girlfriend, etc. They have like very little patience for all these toys.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, I know.
So they kind of always like making you push them to like hitting, like, I know. Oh, just get them out of like hide them in your little whatever,
hide them in your little crawl space.
So it's like, and like my friend, for example, Complice from the cast, he has this beautiful Super Nintendo like collection of vintage games.
Oh, great. That's
and
great.
Like the packaging and everything.
Oh, he's
awesome.
Got original packaging too?
Everything. Wow. And instead of being proudly displayed, they're in like a fucking box under his bed.
It's tough, you know? It's tough. It's like, you know, because you want to display these things, but you do run out of space.
And
then you're
going to have to put, yeah, everyone wants
to. You have to dedicate a room. Yeah, everybody wants to make it, which I do. I have a man cave, and that's where all the stuff is, but it is getting kind of crowded with.
I have.
AT-AT walkers, and I have the sales barge there, which is tremendous.
I have three arcade cabinets in storage. And I have
Oh, my God, yeah. See, you need like a sprawling basement.
I want 3 to 4. I want like 7, 8 machines.
You want it to be like a barcade down there. That's great.
One day have a fully functional arcade.
What you need is a sprawling basement. You need a sprawling. Not
you
just
need a room that your wife doesn't go in anyway.
See, my basement isn't much bigger than the studio room.
Your basement. It has little layers to it, kind of. It's like level.
Well, because I have a split level house. So there's the first, there's the main level, there's the level people sleep on, and then there's the basement level. And it's not like set of 4 or 5
stairs.
I was
in your house not too long ago, a few months ago in the summertime, and the only thing you really had there was the giant skiff.
The sales barge. Jabba's sales barge. I have like the Falcon next to it, the big Falcon, and I have AT-AT walkers in there, and I have like. But
and you
I
got a couple things on the wall.
Yeah, so I'm gonna. But like, I pretty much stopped collecting modern at that point, and I'm focusing on. I'm gonna want to get the original 97.
I'm gonna
get them on a nice display.
I do re-releases, retros.
Yeah. Oh, so like I had.
Nika is the only new shit I buy. Is the Nika Turtle on?
Sure. You mentioned
so
that.
Fucking
yeah,
cool.
And a lot of people are. Yeah, that, exactly. That's great. And a lot of. I'm not as much into turtles as you are. I'd love to see it, but I can't. Spend the money.
You gotta pick one.
So yeah, exactly.
But like,
you can't.
We have Ghostbusters.
Well, Ghostbusters and Star Wars, I'll go for it. Yeah.
Majority of the original X-Men line in package. So
you,
I have some cool different things.
Yeah, you have a good variety. I'm more mostly Star Wars Ghostbusters. Yeah, but you have a good variety.
A lot of my shit's in card or box.
Yeah, you want it carded. Yeah,
card is just for display.
Exactly.
Well, you bought this beautiful display, which we can show down the road when you. You know.
Oh, what, the last 12 or which
well,
one?
Well, your big project.
The big project. I have this beautiful display that I'm getting from Collectors Displays, Drew Tagg on Facebook. He makes amazing custom displays, and I have that getting shipped from the UK, and that's where my original 97 is going to go. Because, you know, otherwise, where the hell do you put them? You just, you know, they're individual loose figures. Where do you put them? But he makes a beautiful display, and that's going to be a beautiful piece, and I'll do like a separate even video on that, Sean, and we'll just to show it off, we'll put that on the Retrocade YouTube page. But to cap it off with a few of the other like things, collectibles I purchased that are modern, I got the Antok Merrick X-Wing that comes with a carded one. It's impossible to find, Target exclusive, and I had to go all and it, I but I looked on the app, and there was one listed in Brooklyn, and I drove all the way to Flatbush.
I'm like, so I've done that before. I'm like,
yeah, I did on a weekday. It was horrible.
Like, and especially Flatbush. It fucking
The Flatbush Avenue Target. Yeah, like downtown Brooklyn.
Can't park. And the store is
right next to the Barclays Center. It was like horrible. I had that like park blocks away, and I'm like still like kind of blocking, you know, like it's still in a tow-way zone. But I ran in, and it turns out they had a bunch of them. They had like 7 of them on the thing. You can like nobody in that neighborhood wants them. And I was like, oh, shit. I was about to buy them all, but I was like, I'm going to just buy one. They're expensive. So I bought that one. And then also PulseCon, which was like Hasbro's like kind of con that they had. You know, it was just live stream. They had the Emperor's Throne. And it was going to be on sale. And it sold out in a minute. And I'm in the car going upstate. And I was able to nab the Emperor's Throne. You got to see it. It's a nice display, Sean. You got to check it. It's called the Emperor's Throne.
Beautiful.
Yeah. And it's – let me show you what it looks like in the the Emperor's Throne Room, it's called. And it's going expensive now. Jeez. The box alone is going for $60 on here it is. So it's
I remember seeing that coming out.
Yeah, I was able to nab one. I got one. It was limit one per customer. Yeah. It sold out in 1 minute. But I'm in the car like and I got it, you know. But I was happy that I got it. And it comes with the Emperor, his chair. And the Emperor is beautiful. And it unfolds to be like the throne room. It's a really nice display piece. I haven't actually even really fully opened it yet. But beautiful. So those are the two modern things I got. Other than that, I'm going to just focus on completing the 97, and like that's it. Because I can't be doing all this. Like Sean said, it's a matter of space, and it is a matter of money. Because this shit's expensive, you know. But so that's what I've been focusing on. That's what we're doing. And next time we'll be back with Ghostbusters Afterlife. We'll do a pre-Thanksgiving episode.
We'll do Thanksgiving holiday episode.
Holiday episode. We'll I don't do know like what we can Black talk about Friday for Thanksgiving. We'll talk Black Friday because we can't. The last time we did our favorite Thanksgiving movies, we did like what do you do? Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. Like the main.
We gotta
one.
Do. So we watched the Ewok thing.
Oh my God! We gotta do Caravan of Courage. We should totally do that for this. I want to do a few things for the holiday season coming up. We should do Caravan of Courage.
The original Lord of the Rings animated 1970s. It's such
you're
a terrible.
At the original. What's it called? Hobbit. The original Hobbit you're talking about.
No, I think it's Fellowship.
Really? Oh, yeah. I know the animated versions, yeah. It's
terrible.
But that's what makes them great. Yeah, that so would be... Yeah,
we're going to do another like live movie review.
Yeah. I mean, I think... yeah, I think... what's it called? It was super fun when we did the holiday special, which was great.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
That was a lot of fun, so and it was well rated, so I think a lot of people like that.
We gotta do something similar.
Because it's also, you can watch along, you know, it's a watch-along.
We gotta find a very schlocky nerd culture piece.
Yes, yes, yes. I would love to do Ewok, Caravan of Courage, and the other one. We should totally do those. I even want to do something for the 25th anniversary of Shadows of the Empire, which is coming up. Imagine 25 years. Yeah, I think December 3rd, I think, is that. So that's, I know we're in a tight schedule.
How do they not do a remake yet? It's just, that's like what we
they
want.
Did, they did reissue
that's
the.
That's what we need.
Yeah, they did reissue the cartridge itself, which I do have. They had that limited run cartridge. I have it somewhere.
I went to buy it, but I like lingered because it was expensive. It was $100 or something.
Well, what happened was that I couldn't get it.
Did Fav guy want as well?
Yes. I got... What happened was...
I love the purple, like, cartridge.
Purple art. Yeah, it's great. And then yeah, because it's the Shadows of the Empire figure box. Like, for the figures, but it's got the cartridge in it.
And the cartridge is originally gray.
The cartridge is originally gray. But this is purple.
Like, atomic purple. Yes. It's, like, mold. Like,
it's very
cool purple.
It's great. It's a great display, custom piece. You don't...
And the game physically works.
The game physically works.
Yeah,
I mean, you wouldn't open it. Yeah,
but it
does.
If you wanted to put it in a Nintendo 64,
it will. Yeah, like if I bought two, maybe I'd consider that. But I got my original. But the point being is that I actually was not able to get it directly through limited run. So what I did was I pre-ordered one off eBay, and then of course the scumbag never sent it. And it was too late at that point to even open up a claim, so I got screwed. And then so I said, screw it. I ended up buying one off eBay secondary when they did get finally, because they took them 6 months to send them.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, but it was in the summer. Well,
I
and
got
then,
a deal on a Simpsons arcade. It was supposed to be sent in November now.
The distribution
and
chain issues.
I got it from, I think it was Newegg. I got some crazy deal on it. I got it for like $300 cheap.
It's not bad.
So it's like $700 retail. I got it for
$400.
But it's through Walmart. They're like a second party of the contract with Walmart.
Sure, sure, sure.
So then I get an email from Walmart saying, oh, product's delayed till January. And I will not be surprised January comes, product's delayed till March.
It's happening to me with a lot
of
pre-order
stuff. I'm
going to
get it in fucking June.
Probably. I literally have pre-order stuff from Entertainment Earth, which is like one of the places you can buy figures on the internet from. I'm not even name-plugging them because I'm done with them.
You know how many pre-orders I have?
That you don't even know where the fuck they're from anymore.
You forget about them.
I have
and
a
the
ton.
Mail comes and you're like,
oh yeah,
I forgot.
That happened to me the other day. I got Tebow, Vintage Collection Tebows, and I'm like, oh yeah, I did buy this. When did I order this? Eight months ago? Yeah.
I have a distribution ton from GameStop. Networks are such a
disaster.
Fucking mess.
It's a disaster.
That any pre-order I buy
I mean, they were not good before, but now with COVID and
now
the
ball, 6 months to a year late.
Oh yeah. But that's my point.
I had shit come a year fucking later.
I have... More, I ordered Ahsoka's pre-order, the Ahsoka's from the Clone Wars, the Vintage Collection. I think it was February 2021. Now they're saying spring 2022, so over like 14 months. And then Rogue One Stormtroopers Vintage Collection, that same order, they're saying summer 2022. And it's like, what the fuck am I paying
for? We'll have
for?
A whole talk about supply chain and Black Friday and everything else.
Yes, that'll be perfect
episode,
for a Black Friday episode.
And we'll do a thorough Ghostbusters review.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be very exciting. Very fun. I hope everyone enjoyed this episode of the Retrogate Podcast. Everyone, that's it for tonight. And keep watching.